Hey, everyone. So we did not end up recording Sunday.
Dun dun dun.
Da da da. It's Thursday the following week because I did not have the flu and Justin did not have pneumonia. We had COVID.
Yay! Just kidding. Not yay.
Justin recovered so quickly, and I've been knocked on my fucking ass for a week now. And Addie watched this happen, okay? I'm going to tell a story because Addie was here for this, so she can attest. So, literally, what was it? Like 2 hours after we stopped recording?
Yeah.
Right?
Not even. Like an hour or so.
I called Addie and I just felt like shit. Like, I was just tired. And within 20 minutes, she just watched my fever go from 98.6 all the way up to over 103.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no recollection of what happened during that time, so you can take it away with that.
Yeah. So you called me, and you're in bed. You were laying on an ice pack, and I could see you shivering because you were so cold. But, like, you were also, like, the top half of your body was freezing, and the bottom half of your body was, like, really hot.
Mm-hmm.
And within that 20-minute time span, you were, like, talking to me and, like, you know, we were, like, I was, like, trying to, like, because I don't really know how to be a supportive best friend. I just know how to be the comedic relief. So I'm, like, here, like, trying to crack jokes and, like, apologizing for, like, being insensitive.
Yeah, but my thing is what I need, like, the type of support I need is comic relief, so that's why it works.
It works out. And so then, like, Justin's, like, playing his game, and you're over here, and you just keep whispering, like, I need to pee, I need to pee, and I was like, why don't you get up and pee, and you're like, leg don't work, like, your sentence just kept getting shorter and shorter and shorter until you were, like, not talking to me at all, and, like, the only thing that you were saying was, like, I need to pee, and you didn't want to bother Justin, so I texted him, and he got off his game, and then, like, came to, like, cater to you, and, like, took your temperature, was like, we might need to go to the hospital. And then
I remember screaming.
Yeah. Well,
I have a phobia of hospitals.
Right. And rightfully so, because, you know, hospitals are shit. And especially with, like, you know, you have had to go to the hospital many a time. And I know it's probably not fun. So I was, like, really worried because I was like, I already know that you don't like hospitals. Mm. And I, like, him saying your fever was 103, like, I was like, holy shit, like, she really wasn't kidding. Not that I thought you were kidding at all, right. But I was like, this is serious now.
Yeah.
And so then we hung up, and then Justin, like, texted me updates and stuff, but yeah, I just, like, watched you deteriorate over the phone.
I fell asleep for an hour because it was at 9:30 when he turned on Bob's Burgers for me. He sat with me on the couch because our living room, like, doesn't heat as much as the rest of the house or the apartment. Mm-hmm. So I slept on the couch with just a top sheet because he's like, you can't have a blanket. Like, you're going to fucking freeze. Or you're going to, like, opposite of freeze. My brain's still not working. Yeah, burn up. So I was sleeping in the living room, and I was sleeping pretty much, like, sitting up. And I woke up, and he's still awake in the bedroom. And I call him, and I was like, help. And he's like, oh, my God. So he comes in here, I was like, I'm going to throw up. So my two biggest fears, hospitals and vomiting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, I'm going to throw up. He's like, you're not going to throw up. You're going to be okay, whatever. I was like, all right. So I was like, I have to pee again. So he has to, like, carry me to the bathroom. Because mind you, if you don't remember from last week when Addie said, you do be disabled, though. I'm disabled.
Mm-hmm.
When I get sick, like, my body, my whole immune system shuts down. Like, I can't function. And so he had to help me walk. Like, I can't walk on my own or do anything on my own when I'm sick. So he helps me to the bathroom. I go pee. I come back in bed or onto the couch. He gets a garbage bag in my mini trash bin. And then I rolled over because I was, like, I was so fucking tired. I was just ready to go back to bed. By now, my fever had gone down a little bit because I took Tylenol, right? I rolled over, and the movement of rolling over made me dizzy enough. I shot back up. I looked over. I grabbed the bin, and I vomited for, like, 10 straight minutes.
Oh, no.
And then he's like, do you think you can make it to the bathroom? So I did. I made it to the bathroom. I was fine. And then after I threw up, I did not have a fever again the entire time that I've had COVID. So we also didn't know that I had COVID, that either of us had COVID up until like Sunday. Was it? Yeah. It was Sunday.
So I think it was Sunday because...
It was because I canceled my therapy appointment on Monday
Yeah.
It was Sunday. So, yeah, because we both took COVID tests and they were negative, as I said.
Right. And that was, like less than 2 days before you started feeling sick. That was probably, like, the day before you
No,
were
I took the COVID test on Friday when I was feeling sick, remember?
The first one?
Yeah. Remember, we were on FaceTime before recording? Yep.
Yep, yeah.
And that was 36 hours after Justin had taken his.
Yep. So he didn't test positive until literally all of his symptoms were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you didn't test positive until your symptoms started like showing up and stuff. But it's weird because he had just finished being sick and then you got sick.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until after all that had happened that it finally tested positive, which mm-hmm. is so strange. But yeah. I have some news.
Yeah, sorry. I haven't even like
It's okay. Don't even worry about it. By this time next week, I will be in a new place. I will be back at school in a dorm, in my own room. So that's kind of cool. Also, very nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for you.
Oh my gosh. I'm like so nervous because like I... First of all, have anxiety about new places.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't, it's kind of a new place, but also not. Because, like, I stayed there over the summer, but it's a very, very different situation because I'm, like, actually going to school now. But I have a general idea of, like, how campus is laid out. So that's cool. But I was, like, I've been looking up this whole week, like, where am I going to park my car? Where are my classes? And, like... There are some classrooms that aren't listed on the campus map, so I had to, like, Google and research, like, where those are, and then how I'm gonna get between classes, and, like, where can I go, and it's just, like, and then the whole move-in situation because of COVID is, like, this whole ordeal, which is cool, because they, like, need to test everyone before they go in, make sure that, like, no one's COVID positive, but it's, like, an hour-long process just to check in, and so, like, I have to, like, make sure that... And there's no parents allowed into the dorms. So, basically, like... I mean, my parents weren't going to come with me because this is, like, my millionth time moving into college. So, like, I know the deal by this point. But it's still, like, nerve-wracking because I'm going to be by myself. So, I'll have to, like, do all this move-in shit by myself. And it's cool. Like, I mean, I'm really happy to have independence again. Not that I don't love living with my parents because, I mean... The meals here are spectacular.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Speaking of, we had breakfast for dinner last night at my suggestion. So we had like French toast and bacon and stuff for dinner. It was phenomenal. I was very happy about it. But now if I want to do that, I have to make it myself, which I'm so bad at cooking.
You're not that bad at cooking.
Well, okay. My thing is like, I'm not bad at cooking. Like the food I make isn't bad. It's that I hate cooking and I'm bad at being efficient at cooking. I hate cooking. Like I'm not going to be the person that's like a housewife and like makes meals. Like I have a friend who's like that.
So she's you're the opposite of me.
Yeah. Oh, complete. I'm like very happy to be. Yeah. Oh, dude. Well, it's because, like, if I'm with another person, like, I can get by. Like, I'm fine with cooking. But my issues are I eat so late at night that...
That's true.
If I even, like, when I was living in my apartment last year, I would start dinner at, like, 10 o'clock and wouldn't eat till, like, midnight because I just can't... I can't cook with, like, one pan. And I can't cook with multiple pans. I have to have something that I could just... pop in the oven and leave it alone.
Oh, like that and that eggplant lasagna that one time?
Let's not talk about that. I try to forget as much as possible that even happened. Okay. But yes, yeah, so like that eggplant lasagna. But yeah, I hate cooking, and so like I called yesterday to see if I could set up a meal plan, and the lady was like, why don't you like come on campus first and like check out all like the dining halls and see what you want and then pick a plan based on that. And I was like, okay, cool. But we also have like a kitchen in our apartment, so like,
oh, cool.
I can cook, but odds of me actually successfully making one meal a day, let alone three meals a day for myself, is probably not going to happen.
I was gonna say, it would be a miracle if you made one meal for yourself a day.
It would be amazing. See, I love breakfast though. That is the one thing. Like, I really do love making breakfast for myself. That's like, that's the easiest thing to do. Like, you know, cook up some eggs and toast, whatever. Like,
did you get my breakfast joke? Were you understanding what I was singing breakfast for?
Is that Jimmy Jr.?
Yeah, the Museums.
Okay, I didn't get it at first.
I know, because you didn't laugh, and I was like, well, now I just look like an idiot. God.
That's the one that always comes into mind when I think of the Museums.
My mom's new friend, Alan. He's okay.
So stupid. Oh my god. Oh.
Anyway.
Okay. All right. So, as I mentioned earlier, this is a part two. Last week was part one of DB Cooper. We went over kind of some background of the hijacking. We went through a little bit of the search, the initial search, and in the investigation that the FBI did. And we left off saying that the landing zone might have been different than what was initially kind of calculated.
Right.
So this week, in part two, we are going to be talking about evidence that we have, speculation, conspiracy, and possible suspects. I'm really excited for this. This is like where it really, really starts to get interesting. And I have some, I feel like you're going to like a couple of the things I talk about today.
I probably will. I like everything you have to say. Not at all because I'm in love with you.
I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you too.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I'm going to cry. Marry me? I'm sorry. Oh. Fuck you, Justin.
No, I will.
I'm kidding. What? Anyway. Okay, so I just want to point this out in case I forget to mention it later. There are some little snippets in here that I got from, and that's why we drink.
You listened to it?
I did. Yes. I did. Because they mentioned something that I was already researching, and they gave me some more detail, so I added some of that in there, too. Yes. I forget what episode it is, but it's like one of their live shows.
It was episode 111. Also, yeah. Real quick, was I right that there was something that Tina said, like, that was super sarcastic?
Yeah. So okay. What she ended up saying was, he, like, offered to give her some of the money, and she was like, I'm sorry, we don't allow tips.
Yes, that was it.
Yeah. Which I thought was hilarious. So, in 1980, an 8-year-old boy named Brian Ingram was with his fam at the beach called Tina Bar, which is on the Columbia River.
Okay.
Is it Columbia or... Yeah, it's Columbia. He was digging through the sand, you know, as kids do, and he stumbled upon a bunch of raggedy money still tied up with rubber bands. FBI technicians figured out that the money was part of the ransom because they had the same serial numbers as the cash that was given to Cooper, which we mentioned that last week.
Oh, shit. Yeah, because they all started with L or something, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And apparently it was arranged in the same way that it was given to him, and it was approximated that $5,800 was the total that was found.
Shit.
So, yeah.
Imagine turning that money in.
Funny enough, they mentioned this in That's Why We Drink, and it's also on the Wikipedia, but the kid who found it was actually given, like, some of the money.
Oh, right,
And he ended up selling it, like, I think, when did he sell it? Whatever, when he was older, he ended up selling it for, like, $3,600 or something.
Jesus.
$36,000, or, yeah.
Because people wanted DB Cooper's sold it. Money.
Right, exactly. Jesus he sold Christ. It for a lot of money. So, ka-ching, ka-ching. Something I find interesting is that there's some insight as to what happened to the bills and how they got to Tina Bar. A hydrologist from the Army Corps of Engineer made an observation that the bills had been weathered in a rounded fashion and that the... And were... Oh, they were very matted, meaning that the river probably carried them down from somewhere rather than them being buried there. And if that was the case, then that rules out Cooper's Landing being near Lake Merwin or the Lewis River, because those don't feed into the Columbia River upstream from Tina Bar. The Washougal River, on the other hand, feeds into the Columbia River upstream where the money was found. And then I wrote, coincidence? I think not.
Oh, that's where the feral swines are.
Oh, so maybe he did get eaten by pigs.
Just kidding.
Who knows?
There's no population of swine in Washington.
There's also some issues with this hypothesis, too. So if the bills had been taking a soak in the river, then it wouldn't explain why there's 10 bills missing from one of the bundles. And remember from before, there was only $5,800 found, and it should have been $6,000 if the bundles were intact, because math. It also doesn't explain why the bundles were together after being separated from the rest of the ransom. So if the cash ended up on the beach, it would have needed to get there within a few... My dad just walked in, so I have to wait for him to get out, because he thinks he's being quiet, but he's not. All right. What was I just saying?
It was missing. There were a couple of bills missing.
Oh, okay. If the cash were to end up on the beach, it would have needed to get there within a few years of the hijacking. If we look at geological evidence, the bills got there after 1974, which is more than a few years after the hijacking had happened.
When did the hijacking happen?
1971.
That's still a few years. That's like 3 years.
Well... Yeah, I know, but there's more. In 2020, so very recently,
oh shit,
there were diatoms, or algae, found on the bills that show that the bills probably weren't submerged in the river or buried in the sand at the time of the hijacking. Algae that blooms in the spring was found in the bills, which suggests that the money was in the water a couple of months after the incident occurred, but the bundles were found after 1974. Either the money was, like, put in the river and then taken out and then maybe buried? I don't know.
Wait, and I so also what don't did the algae show? I got confused. I'm sorry.
Okay, so the algae that blooms in the spring was found on the bills.
Okay.
Which suggests that the money was in the water a couple of months after the incident occurred.
So it had gone into the water after the incident, not...
Right.
Not that it had fallen in.
Right.
So, like, when he jumped.
Right, but I think I was also reading that, like, the FBI or, like, some, like, group, like, did a dredging of the beach, and this is where, like, the geological evidence comes in, like, there's a difference in the sand or something, and so looking at, like, where the money was and how deep in the sand it was, that's how they determined that the bills were there after 1974. But the algae suggests that, like, it happened a couple of months after the incident occurred, or at least that the money was in the water after the incident occurred. But I feel like the algae maybe couldn't necessarily give an exact time. It just says sometime in the spring. So who knows really when that could have been. Although it times up perfectly, because if the jump happened in, I think it was, like, wintertime. Oh, no, yeah, it was in November.
It was the day before.
And then the following spring, yeah. And then the following spring, there's, like, algae on it. I don't know.
When was the money found?
The money was found in 1980.
Oh.
But it had gotten there sometime after 1974. Or around that time.
Because something would have had to put it in the water and have it... Because it wouldn't be going downstream for three years.
Right. No. That's why
Unless
they say
it
that,
would
like,
be, but I don't...
No, I don't think so.
Because it would be...
That's why...
On the floor of the river.
Yeah, but I don't think it'd be weighed down that much. It's not like a rock. And even rocks move.
No, but have you ever... But wet paper sinks.
Yeah, but I feel like if there's enough of a current, it's not going to stay sunk.
Oh, no. I know. But I'm saying as if it's... I mean, depending on the distance between where it got into the water and...
It could take a while.
Yeah. I don't know. Or...
I don't know either.
It just, like, it was on the ground, and then there was a rain or something that washed it into the river.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that too.
A lot of
yeah.
things that could have happened.
Yeah.
Or an animal
definitely
was like digging right. and it got knocked in into the water or right. something.
It could have been a lot of things. I feel like maybe that could have, that little extra tidbit could have made it more confusing than
what
than I thought.
With the just algae? About
like the algae and stuff. No, yeah.
I'm just, my brain is not working currently.
In 2007, the FBI found a partial print on the JCPenney clip-on tie that was left by Cooper, but they could not confirm that it was his fingerprint, because he ain't got no fingers. Just kidding.
Oh.
He probably died with all of his fingers. All right. Possible suspects. Oh, my God. This is where it gets juicy. Okay. So, there's, like, a bunch of, like, possible suspects, but I only go through, like, kind of the important ones or, like, the most relevant ones, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
There are a few people who are suspected to be D.B. Cooper. Most of the people who were suspects, though, were ruled out because they didn't match the sketches that were drawn. So, the FBI seemed to be very, very focused on, like, the appearance of this man and, like, were very... Because that was, like, all they had, basically, and because, like, that was, like, both testimonies from, like, the... stewardesses were very similar. Like, that's really all they base it off of.
Right.
He was approximately 5'10 to 6 feet tall, 180 pounds, in his mid-40s, and with close-set brown eyes. And the sketch has remained unchanged with the exception of an age progression sketch that was drawn.
Mm.
And they also did a sketch with his sunglasses on, too.
Yes, we were talking about that last week.
Yeah. Yeah. the FBI think that Cooper was possibly an Air Force veteran based on his knowledge of the terrain, the details about the plane, and his plan to jump.
Mm-hmm.
If he was an Air Force veteran, then it would explain his knowledge on the parachutes, but it still wouldn't explain why he used a training chute as his backup. They also believe that he had serious money problems because of the risk of the incident and how much he had asked for. So this guy was down. Listen,
Someone who has money doesn't buy clip-on ties from JCPenney. Rich people don't eat at Little Caesars, nor do they buy clip-on ties from JCPenney. I'm glad you thought that was funny. I did not think that was funny.
I love the callback to the rich people don't eat at Little Caesars. Oh, I love that.
Another two-part episode.
Yeah, that was a good one. The authorities believe that Cooper most likely did not survive the jump. If he was an experienced skydiver, he wouldn't have jumped in the middle of the night in the middle of a storm where the wind chill was 15 degrees Fahrenheit. He also would have checked his chute before jumping and realized that it was a training parachute used for demonstration purposes and noticed that it had been sewn shut. Which, I don't know why I find that hilarious, but...
Well, because there were four chutes.
Right. Yeah, two of them, which were, like, professional-grade, like, civilian chutes.
One was a military chute, correct? And then...
No, I think they had offered him military chutes, and he didn't want them.
Oh.
Even though he was given four parachutes, two of them being professional parachutes, he chose one that was inoperable, even though it said on the actual pack that it was for classroom demonstrations.
Why did they give that to him?
I think it was an accident. I don't think that they did it on purpose. I think it was like a, which, if you're gonna clown on this guy for not checking his chute before jumping, maybe you should clown on yourselves for not checking it and seeing that it was also a classroom demonstration pack.
Yeah, because clearly, like, two people just completely overlooked, more than two people.
Yeah, yeah.
Just overlooked that.
So tiny detail. Who's the real idiot here, Who's the real idiot?
Am I the asshole for giving D.B. Cooper training shoot?
Even if he did survive the jump, it was unlikely that he would have been able to survive the cold, mountainous terrain that he was jumping into without an accomplice. If there was an accomplice, that would have meant that the jump had to be timed perfectly, and he would have needed the flight crew to help him to achieve that. The crew did not help him at all because he told them all to wait in the cockpit, and he probably had no idea where he was jumping, therefore did not have an accomplice. So, that's their argument anyway. But we don't know this guy. I mean, all we know is that he likes bourbon, smoking cigarettes, and wearing sunglasses inside on an airplane.
And
anywhere is JCPenney
clip-on ties.
Yeah. So, like, who is this guy really?
Your mom.
close. Or, segue, it could be Richard Floyd McCoy, who is our first suspect.
How is that a segue?
Listen, okay, I'm just trying to do my job.
Are you telling me your mom is that guy? Whatever his name is.
She could be. I don't know my mom. All right, so first suspect that we have is Richard Floyd McCoy. Richard Floyd McCoy, or Richard McCoy Jr., is a suspect most people speculate to be D.B. Cooper. He was an Army veteran who became a warrant officer in the Utah National Guard as a recreational skydiver. So he checks out with the veteran thing and the skydiver thing. Mm-hmm. On April 7th, 1972, McCoy staged a hijacking of a Boeing 727 in Denver, Colorado. He had a paperweight resembling a grenade and an unloaded handgun, which I think they mentioned this somewhere. I don't remember if it was in the Unsolved video or if it was in the podcast, but apparently it wasn't even a real handgun. It was like a paper mache. It was like a fake gun that he had made. So some more 5-minute crafts for you.
The 70s, he asked, man.
Yeah, they were wildin'. He asked for 4 parachutes and $500,000. Frida's making her debut.
Yeah,
I don't even know if you can hear her.
I hear
can
her.
Can you hear her?
I hear
yeah,
her.
Yeah, she's loud as hell. He asked for 4 parachutes and $500,000. When the plane got to San Francisco and he got the ransom in the chutes, he demanded that the plane go back in the air and then jumped out around Provo, Utah. He left a handwritten note in the plane as well and a magazine with his fingerprints on it. The similarities between McCoy's hijacking and Cooper's hijacking are similar.
Wait, you just said...
What did I say?
The similarities between the two hijackings are similar.
Are similar? Oh, I wrote that down, too. Oh. I must have... Because I was editing this and writing this at, like, 4 in the morning. Like, very late the past couple nights. Oh, my God. Okay. So, the similarities... Are very similar. BuzzFeed's Unsolved did a video and they outlined some of the details. Mm-hmm. They both jumped out of the rear door of a Boeing 727. They both requested 4 parachutes. They were both calm and collected during the hijacking. They both passed a note stating that there was a bomb. And apparently, both notes contained the phrase, no funny stuff. Which, I didn't know that. That's pretty interesting. Also, according to 2 officers who wrote a book on the hijacking, Russell Kalam and Bernie Rhodes, who Ryan and Shane reference in the video, members of the McCoy family identified an object left by Cooper, but the object was never information that was released to the public. So, like, the object that was left, like, no one really knew about. So the fact that McCoy's family was able to identify that object was a little bit strange.
Mm.
Because that was never, you know, no one was like, huh, this guy left this here. So it has to be blah, blah, blah. I don't know. So that was just interesting. McCoy was ruled out as a suspect because he didn't fit the age or physical description of Cooper, and his family claimed that he was home for Thanksgiving the day after the hijacking occurred. He was, however, sentenced to 45 years in prison for the Colorado hijacking.
Yep.
He escaped Lewisburg Federal Penitentiary by apparently driving a garbage truck to the main gate. And he was found a few months later in Virginia Beach and was shot and killed by FBI agents.
Oh, yikes. I'm gonna look up a picture of him. What was his name?
R.I.P. Richard Floyd McCoy.
Yeah, I'm looking at him right now. He looks just like him.
Mm-hmm.
That's upsetting.
I know. It gets more upsetting.
Like, what the fuck?
They look the same. They look the same.
I don't like that. Wait, yeah, I'm not sure, though, because he's not wearing sunglasses in that picture, so...
So it's really hard to tell, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish... I wish that would, for all the suspects they brought in, they...
Put sunglasses on them?
They should put sunglasses on them, so that way they could really tell.
They should give them... They should have given them a real tie and been like, tie this.
Yeah.
If they can't tie it, they did it.
Can you tie this? Can you tie this?
Can you tie a tie? Are we bad people?
That's hilarious. Yes. I don't think so. I feel like this guy's probably not alive, so I don't think he'll care. So the next suspect I have is Dwayne Weber. Dwayne was a World War II vet who served several stints in prison for burglary and forgery. When he was on his deathbed, he admitted to his wife that he was Dan Cooper, which she did not find significant until she learned later the importance of the name related to the hijacking. When she found a book about D.B. Cooper at her local library, she found her husband's handwriting written in the margins. He apparently also brought her on a trip to Tina Bar in 1979. Although Weber did fit the physical description of the hijacker, his fingerprints and later on once I got him his DNA samples did not match those of Cooper. Which I don't ever remember them finding like DNA. I mean, I guess later on maybe sure you could find some DNA. We don't even know if those fingerprints were his on the clip on time.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
Like, how do they know they're his?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows?
Not us,
so,
clearly.
I don't know shit, man. I know a lot of things that I do not know. Sorry. I'm continuing on. Next suspect we have is Kenneth Peter Christensen, mm-hmm. who is, I think, another favorite suspect. Kenneth was a trained paratrooper in the Army in 1944. In 1954, he had a job with Northwest Orient, the airline,
mm-hmm.
and he was a mechanic, and then later on, he was a flight attendant. In 2003, his brother saw a documentary about the hijacking and was convinced that his brother was D.B. Cooper, and his brother passed away in 1994. Apparently, on his deathbed, he confessed that he had a secret but wouldn't say what the secret was.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
In the BuzzFeed Unsolved video, they mentioned that he also liked bourbon, which is the drink that Cooper ordered on the plane. Mm. When Flora Schaffner was shown a picture of Christensen, and remember, she was the flight attendant.
Yes.
Who spent some time with him. She said that his picture matched most closely to the hijacker that she saw in 1971, compared to the other suspects that she had seen. Unfortunately, though, the FBI ruled out Kenneth Christensen because apparently he didn't, again, fit the physical description closely enough, and because he was a paratrooper, he was more experienced than the person who they thought was who jumped out of the plane. And then I wrote, I think that's stupid, but yeah. So, okay. Oh, this is my favorite part when I was doing this. Okay. So, there are probably a dozen more suspects who are thought to be D.B. Cooper, but they were also ruled out probably because of physical description, whatever stupid reason the FBI came up with. But there were a bunch of letters of people impersonating Cooper that were sent to major tabloids and were ultimately thought to be hoaxes. There were two that were sent to the FBI that they didn't mention until the 2000s, so they, like, held on to these letters, which makes people believe that they had some sort of important information.
Well, yeah, because usually when things are being held, it's because they don't want people to know that they're catching on.
Right. Which makes all what I'm going to say next, like, even more interesting.
Okay.
So, in 2016, a documentary filmmaker by the name Thomas Colbert, filed for a Freedom of Information Act request because he and his team believed that there was information in the letters. He did his own private investigation because he was shooting a documentary for the History Channel. The first letter was sent on December 11th, 1971, to the New York Times, Seattle Times, Los Angeles Times, and the Washington Post. The letter read, "Sirs, I knew from the start I wouldn't be caught. I didn't rob Northwest Orient because I thought it would be romantic, heroic, or any of the other euphemisms that seem to attach to situations of high risks. I'm no modern-day Robin Hood. Unfortunately, I do have only 14 months to live. My life has been one of hate, turmoil, hunger, and more hate." Same. <Me. laughs> "This seemed to be the fastest and most profitable way to gain a few fast grains of peace of mind. I don't blame people for hating me for what I've done, nor do I blame anybody for wanting me to be caught and punished. Though this can never happen. Here are some, not all, of the things working against the authorities. Oh my I'm God. Not a boasting man. I left no fingerprints. I wore a toupee. I wore putty makeup. Material girl.
Material girl.
They could add or subtract from the composite 100 times and not come up with an accurate description, and we both know it. I've come and gone on several airline flights already and am not holed up in some obscure backwoods town. Neither am I a psychopathic killer. As a matter of fact, I've never even received a speeding ticket. Thank you for your attention." I like how he's like, I'm not a boasting man, but then he's like, I've never gotten a speeding ticket.
Neither have I, bitch.
I have. Anyway.
That's interesting, because honestly, I didn't even think about the fact that, like, he could change his appearance.
Right. It's crazy. And then, of course, like, that, if let's say this letter is from D.B. Cooper, that makes it also interesting because the FBI is literally only using this, like,
composite sketch.
One sketch that they have of him, right? So, on the surface, this letter doesn't seem like it holds much, but a member of the team was able to crack a code. The man's name was Rick Sherwood, and he decoded he decoded messages during the Vietnam War. They deciphered the letter to read, I'm LT Robert W. Rackstraw. Robert W. Rackstraw was a former pilot and paratrooper who served during the Vietnam War, and funny enough, also worked under Rick Sherwood.
Oh.
He was a suspect at one point in the case, but eventually was ruled out, probably because he didn't match the description. Mm-hmm. And they mentioned this in the And That's Why We Drink episode. This was controversial because many FBI agents actually believe that he was a prime suspect. And Christine mentions that this could have been a cover-up by the FBI because Rackshaw could have been involved with the CIA and could have worked with classified units during the war. I put that in quotes because that's her quote, what she said. Mm-hmm. So that's real interesting because that would also make sense as to why they were kind of holding on to these letters.
Right.
Why they didn't want people to know about these letters. So another letter was sent to the Portland Oregonian on March 28th, 1972, and it was signed A Rich Man. It read, this letter is to let you know I'm not dead but really alive and just back from the Bahamas. Mans took a vacation, he said. Seriously. Y'all are stressing me out. So your silly troopers up there can stop looking for me. That is just how dumb this government is. I like your articles about me, but you can stop them now. D.B. Cooper is not real. I had to do something with the experience Uncle taught me, so here I am, a very rich man. Uncle gave too much of it to world idiots and no work for me. I had to do it to relieve myself of frustration. I want out of the system and saw a way through good old Unc. Now you know, I'm going around the world and they will never find me because I'm smarter than the system's lackey cops and lame duck readers. Now it's Uncle's turn to weep and pay one of its own some cash for change. And please tell the lackey cops D.B. Cooper is not my real name. And I'm assuming in that letter he's talking about Uncle Sam or, like, U.S. because...
Okay, I was just... Who the fuck is his uncle?
Yeah, I took it as, like, he's talking about Uncle Sam and, like, the experience that he had during the Vietnam War and was able to, like... I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but, like... That's,
yeah, but no, you're
he's
not,
using that experience to, like,
insane.
Yeah. So this letter was decoded and apparently had a message that read, I'm LT Robert W. Rackstraw. D.B. Cooper's not my real name. And I want out of the system and saw a way by hijacking one jet plane. So in 2017, Cobra's team also allegedly found an old parachute strap and a piece of foam, which they think could have belonged to Cooper's parachute backpack. Mm. But nothing really came out of this. And Rackshaw actually stated in a phone interview that he lost his job because of the investigations Colbert did. And he said, I told everybody I was the hijacker before elaborating that it was a gag.
Oh my God.
Which, my guy... If people are literally putting together a private team, mostly made up of former FBI agents and, like, other people, and they're, like, finding shit about you, and they're like, this guy could be the D.B. Cooper, and you're like, you know what? Yeah, I did it.
I did as it. A That's gag. Me.
You can't expect people not to take that to heart. Why would you joke about something like that when people are very seriously, like, looking for evidence?
Because he's an idiot, I guess.
Yeah. Sounds like he's an idiot.
To be fair, though, okay, and maybe this is horrible. I think this case is so fucking funny. Like, I know it's horrible, but first of all...
But no one really got hurt.
No one got hurt.
I feel like...
I don't think the bomb was real, so...
More 5 minutes.
I don't know.
Crafts. He just, Googled how
seriously.
To
he like duct taped hairspray cans together or something. I don't
Look
know.
At my wires. Look at my bomb. It's what's It's like a couple cans of like Tresemme.
Don't use that ever on your hair, guys, please. One thing I learned in hair school, never use Tresemme. Anyway.
The Tresemme mousse sitting in my cabinet.
What was I going to say? I was just going to say, like, I know everyone hates, obviously, I think for the time, like, I think it's funnier now than it was then. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was like, because in my head, I'm like, why are people making such a big deal about this? I need you guys to remember, also, I'm still ill, and I'm having wicked bad brain fog, but never mind. Don't listen to me. Just continue.
Well, I think also, like, and they mentioned this in the article and in the podcast episode, that, like, during this time, plane hijackings were just, like, a thing.
Yeah.
Like, they happened semi-frequently, so I think that because this guy wasn't caught, it was like, oh my god, scandal! Oh my god, this guy got away with it!
I know.
Crazy, let's find him.
The government acting like they can't afford to give him 200 grand.
Right.
Bullshit.
Like, hop off. And you mess up and give him a training parachute. Like, come on.
Come on. And he lost, like, 6 grand of it anyway. It's fine.
Yeah.
At least.
Like, how do you lose this money?
At least. He Tina would have had some, but she can't take tips, so.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. She could have been rolling in dough. She could have brought herself to the Bahamas and then met up with him there and been like, what are you doing here? So we both have the same
forbidden
idea.
Love
this
story.
Crazy. Yeah.
Oh my god, it's Romeo and Juliet.
Wattpad fanfic. Flight attendant DB Cooper. Match made in heaven. So yeah, Rackshaw died in 2019.
Oh, okay.
Looks like we won't be getting any answers from him. He's dead. In 2016, the FBI closed the case, but they request that if anyone has
they closed
any information,
it?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah. But I think because of, like, they, like, something about, like, the statute of limitations now is, like, extended or some shit. So, like, if for whatever reason he's, like, still alive or, like, there's, like, evidence against him and they can, like,
they probably
put together a solid
anything.
Case, I think he would still be able to be tried for it. I could
oh, really?
Be wrong about that, though.
I mean, yeah, he probably could, because like, it was a huge, like, federal fucking offense.
Right. But, I mean, it seems like all of the suspects they thought were him are dead, so.
The two things I'm going to ask God, assuming I get to heaven, because who the fuck knows with the way that I am, but. Who the fuck is D.B. Cooper? What the fuck happened to Alyssa Lamb?
Who's Alyssa Lamb?
She was the girl who died at the Cecil Hotel.
Oh! Yes! Yes.
Yeah.
The last little thing I have is like...
Sorry. Yes,
They closed the case, but they request that if anyone has any information about the parachutes or ransom money, they submit it for analysis.
Mm.
And that's all I have.
Yeah, they found like a piece of a parachute at some point, but like they can't confirm that it belonged or that it was his or something.
Yeah, I think there was also like a like two hikers or like two people found like a placard on like how to jump out of a Boeing 727 and
really
like, yeah, and it was like on the flight path, but like they couldn't really like say that it was from his jump, I think.
Jesus.
So which is like a very oddly specific thing to have. But
wait, in 2008, this is on NBC News, and it says that the FBI was analyzing a parachute that children found in Southwest Washington.
Oh, wow.
The chute was white, the same color as Cooper's.
Mm-hmm. So, my question to you then is, what do you think happened? Do you think that he survived?
Yes. I want to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. You said that he used the training chute?
So he grabbed two of the four chutes that he was given. One of them was the training chute. The other was just a parachute.
Okay. That's why I was confused, because I was like, what? I do think he survived.
Mm-hmm.
Considering he had two parachutes. Because I was confused, because the whole time in my head, I was thinking, I was like, I know he didn't only take the crap, like the one he can't use. But for some reason, I don't know why, that's like the way I understood it when you were saying it. So.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's just because my brain is dying right now. But yeah, I think he survived. I don't know who I think did it.
Mm-hmm.
I do think there was definitely some cover up. Because unsolved cases like these, like hijackings and shit, just don't, they don't go unsolved. Or sorry, they don't, you don't close the case. They go unsolved, but you don't close the cases. And like, it's very rare that a case like this is unsolved.
Yeah.
And so for them to kind of just give up.
Yeah.
I'm kind of leaning on the side of what you said earlier, how there was someone you said you think was involved, or they think was involved with the CIA.
Right. I think it was Rockstraw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
I don't know why the fuck
it's just...
a CIA agent would have done that, but...
Right, right. Well, because good old uncle wasn't...
Oh, right.
...giving him enough work, I guess, based on his freaking letter, if that was even him. I do think it's just interesting how there are so many... aspects to this case that are just like, everyone's like, oh, it's a mystery. Where did the money come from? Whose fingerprint is this?
Yeah.
Why does this guy like bourbon so much? It's like, there's a lot of details that I think are not overlooked, but like, again, I don't know how FBI investigations are done. FBI, please don't come for me. I promise.
I don't think anyone in the FBI is even listening to this.
If you're in the FBI and you're listening to this, no, you didn't. You're not listening. Go away.
I just get arrested.
I just like, what boggles my mind is that, like, there's all these, like, people who, like, are suspects, and they're just like, they don't look enough like the guy. Meanwhile, like, they don't even know what the guy looks like. Right. And who knows how long, like, I just, like, imagine them, like, calling up, you know, Tina and Florence being like, we got another one for you to look at. And they're like, okay, like, how much time passes until they, like, I forget what I look like sometimes.
I know.
So it's like, how do they remember what he looks like detail for detail? And there's a lot of these suspects which look very much similar. Like, the sketch, and they're just like, he's not close enough. And it's just like, and there's also, again, like, they mentioned in the letter, like, he could have been disguising himself.
Yeah.
Somehow. So, do we really know what he looks like? I don't know. It's just very interesting to me. I think that he probably did, because they didn't find, like, a body or anything. I mean, we mentioned last episode they found a body, but it wasn't his.
Yeah. Well, my thing is, if the parachute failed, like, if he was using the good one and it failed, I don't think there really would have been enough of him after he hit the ground to find a body, necessarily.
You don't think so? Not even one little, like, piece of evidence?
Well, I think there would be evidence, but...
But then wouldn't they have found that? Like, wouldn't they have found, like, at least a crash site? Like, so where some sort of impact was?
Yeah,
or, like,
maybe.
Any remnants of, like...
Unless he fell onto the water. Shoot.
Right.
Surface tension is a bitch. That'll fucking shatter your bones in half a second.
Yeah. Especially coming down from, like, 10,000 feet.
Exactly.
It's a lot. It's just interesting. And, well, it's also interesting because they ended up, when they, like, used the submarines and stuff, they were looking at the lake where they first thought that he was, but that was downstream from where the money was found. Money can't swim upstream, doesn't have arms or legs.
It's true.
So, who really knows? I think that if everything went according to plan and it worked out, that he survived. And he found a way to get out. I don't know this guy, but, like, I feel like maybe he wouldn't write letters and be like, haha, F you. Suck my balls. I think that he would, like, just kind of lay low and kind of just do whatever he wants.
I don't know.
To be fair, though, if I was DB Cooper and I did successfully hijack a plane, I would want to boast about it a little bit, be like, you thought.
Right.
But that's me.
But his behaviors and his actions were so unpredictable. So it's like...
Yeah.
Like, and part of me is thinking, and this could just be me being fucking crazy, but part of me is thinking that maybe he knew he was taking the training parachute just to throw everyone off.
He was just that good.
Yeah. And I just think that if he were not to survive, if he had fallen, like, yeah, there would have been something. They would have found the money. They would have found literally anything.
Right.
Who knows? Maybe he could have fucking thrown that money in the river to throw them off. Like,
yeah, no. It's like so many things could have happened.
He seems smart. And I feel like a lot of this, as crazy as it and sporadic as it is, a lot of it feels very deliberate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. There's like, I don't know. Like, there was a lot of thought behind a lot of what happened, including the money, even when he was getting the parachutes, he knew that he was going to throw them off by asking for four.
Yeah.
Because they would then think that he's bringing a hostage with him.
For all we fucking know, he could have gone back to the river in 1974, and he had been just saving a wad of cash just to throw that in.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
I'm not, like, a crazy conspiracy theorist, guys. I'm just saying. This guy was clearly an idiot, but intelligent at the same time.
Yeah. Smartest idiot we ever did knew. Wonderful.
Deliberate chaos is his... sounds like his thing. So, it's really hard to...
Reminds me of myself.
Same.
Yeah.
Except I would never hijack a plane.
Yeah, same.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, super interesting. I would love to hear what you guys think, people listening.
Yeah, you can tweet at us. I would love to hear. How about Twitter if you fight? Like... Please don't. Yeah. We're not moderating that drama. By we, I mean Addie.
Yeah, no. I'd just be like, yes, get him. Yeah, rip him to shreds. Just kidding. I wouldn't do that. Please don't argue.
But we also wouldn't get involved. Would not get involved.
If you have any like other interesting facts about this case or whatever, I would love to hear about it. I love doing this case. I thought it was so interesting. Did you like listening to it?
Yeah, I did. I liked it. I liked how in-depth it was. I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud that you were able to pull a two-parter.
Yeah, I know. My first two-parter, is it? I think it is.
Yeah.
Yay! Oh my god, I did it.
I've done three.
You're a two-part veteran.
I'm also just a psychotic research person.
It's a good thing, though.
I have no self-control.
It works. It works.
And then hopefully, I'm just gonna stop, like, manifesting that I'll be on track or that I'm gonna be ahead of things, because I'm not. Ever.
At this, no, but also, like, specifically for this past week, there was so much going on. And, like, I kept telling Audrey, like, you need to rest, you need to heal. Like, let your body do its thing, because I'd rather you feel better sooner than you, like, stress about, you know, trying to get...
I think I texted you, like, three times a day. I need to do research, and then
and
never
I was like,
fucking did.
Well, it's fine.
But honestly, I'm kind of glad I didn't get my research done, because I think if I pushed myself to do my episode today, I wouldn't make it, because I am fucking exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
You need some rest.
I do.
All right. With that said, thank you guys so much for listening. If you would like to hear more from us, I'm trying my best to post on Twitter. Working real hard on it. If you do message me on there, though, I will respond. Can't give you a timeline on when that is. Could be 1 to 3 business days, but I will respond eventually. Would love to hear from you guys. Our Twitter is at NightmareTCP. Switching it up today. Usually do the Instagram first.
Yeah,
talking about Twitter
today
first.
Weird.
Instagram is YourWorstNightmareTCP. That's our handle. If you would like to email us any case suggestions or listener stories or just say hi, please do. And our email is yourworstnightmaretcp@gmail.com. And if you would like to be sweet little donor, and you would like to financially support us. We adore you.
So we can pay back our debts to
our debts to my
savings account that I drained to buy this audio equipment,
this setup. Our Patreon is patreon.com/yourworstnightmaretcp, and if you donate to our Patreon, you will get an episode dedicated to you. So if you really like our podcast and you're like, I really like this podcast, I want to help them out, then you can do that and help us out that way.
Also, I feel like we don't mention this a lot, and I think it kind of throws people for a loop. I know a lot of like podcast Patreons have like tiers. We don't have a tier. It's only $5 a month. We don't do the whole like you get better features or perks if you pay more money. No, everyone, this is communism, okay? Everybody gets everyone's the same shit. Equal. Like we believe in equality. And we understand that like people don't have a whole lot of money, so I know sometimes when I'm listening to podcasts and like, you can go donate to our Patreon, I'm like, no, fuck you, I'm not paying like $20 a month, like I'm poor. But it's legitimately $5 a month, and sometimes I won't even bother to go check their Patreon, and it could be like a dollar or two, so I'm letting you know it is $5. So don't be so scared to click that button.
Don't be shy.
Don't be shy.
Oh my god, it looks so pretty right now. Oh, don't you just want to click it?
Oh, look at...
Become a Mothman baddie.
Mothman baddie. It's just right in the Instagram bio. I'm like 90% sure you can just click on it.
Oh my god, she's looking so delectable right now. Okay, I'll stop.
Anyway, I'm going to pee my pants.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. Go listen to part one. If you listen to all this whole entire thing and you haven't listened to part one, definitely go listen to that.
Yeah, please do, because what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't mean that. I love you. Okay.
I love you too. What?
What? Oh.
My ring for you is coming in the mail. Anyway.
Oh. Oh.
See you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
Yes. Yes. Okay, bye.